And we welcome you to another Teague Bible Church podcast with Pastor, Teacher, Jim Petty. May the Spirit of God minister to you through the message from the Word of God.
That's so true that all of that was personal. From Jesus's birth, to his death on the cross, to his resurrection, it was personally done for each one of us. Today we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 6. I know you're probably expecting something about Palm Sunday today, but Jason took care of that. So Isaiah, you realize that Isaiah was the prophet in Judah for three or four kings, the lifetime of three or four kings. We know that, for instance, they sought Isaiah during one of the times that the Assyrians came to attack Israel, to attack Jerusalem. We know that Hezekiah got a visit from Isaiah during his reign. So Isaiah's stint as the prophet of God was a long stint. And his messianic passages are just so numerous that at Christmas, at Easter, all these times, we look to Isaiah to read what he predicted was going to happen. Chapter 6, it says, "It was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having six wings, with two wings that covered their faces, with two wings that covered their feet, and with two wings they flew. And they were calling out to each other, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory.' Their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Then I said, 'It's all over. I am doomed. For I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies.'" You have, when you have a personal encounter with God, you either deny what it is, or this is your reaction. The night that I got saved, it was traumatic. I called out to God and I said, "If you're there, if you're real, I know you can help me. What do I got to do? What do I have to do to be saved?" There were no preachers. There were no Christians around me. I was by myself on my knees beside my bed. And God said, "Talk to me." He said, "I'm here. I am real." And I realized in that moment, oh my God, I'm going to die. Because how can I, being who I am and doing the things that I've done, talk to a holy God? And yet, we see Isaiah going, "Man, I've seen what we've always desired to see. But he wasn't joyful about it because he saw God as he is and realized, oh my gosh, even though I'm a prophet of the Lord, I'm undone. Not only am I unclean, not only do I have a filthy mouth, but I live among people that are exactly the same. There is nothing that can save me now. I'm undone. And God smiled. Says, then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, see, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait a minute. I'm supposed to die right here. I'm supposed to be 100% undone. God just, no. See, Isaiah acknowledged who he was. Isaiah acknowledged his sin. He acknowledged that he shouldn't be there. And so, God in his loving kindness sent the seraphim over to him and took away his guilt. God was looking forward to a time when Jesus would come and take away all sin. Because God's got a job for Isaiah. And he needs him. He needs him in the right state of mind. God's got a job for us. You know, we tend to look at these stories and think, man, if that only happened to me. What do you mean if it only happened to you? What happened at your salvation experience? Did you not realize that you were undone? Did you not have a moment where you thought, I'm the worst sinner there ever has been? Did you not have that moment when you said, God, I put all my trust in you and I accept what you did for me? That's what's happening here. Isaiah is getting his righteousness from God. He didn't bring any righteousness in. He was the prophet of God. And he didn't bring any righteousness into that temple. Yet, God imparted righteousness to him. You know, we've been studying how God's been interacting with Abraham and oh my gosh, God's loving kindness is incredible. He didn't bring Isaiah up there so he could destroy Isaiah. He brought Isaiah up there to make him realize the state of everything, to give him a reality check. God brings us to hard times, hard places, hard decisions. Not because he doesn't love us, but so that we can see that he's still in control. So that we can see that he still wants to do something in our lives. He's removed Isaiah's filthiness. He's imparted righteousness to him. It says in verse 8, "Then I heard the Lord asking, 'Whom shall I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us?' Isaiah said, 'Here I am, send me.' And he said, 'Yes, go and say to this people, listen carefully, but do not understand. Watch closely, but learn nothing. Harden the heart of these people, plug their ears and shut their eyes. That way they will not see with their eyes, nor hear with their ears, nor understand with their hearts, and turn to me for healing.'" So God is sending him out to be a messenger. So you realize that Noah was a messenger, right? Noah preached for how long, John? 200 years? I think 200 years. Nobody got converted. It was a rough ministry. He had to build during the day too, you know. It was a rough ministry. Jeremiah, God said, "I'm going to make you an iron tower. They shall not overcome you, but they're not going to listen to you. But you're going to tell them this, 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 and this." Jeremiah, they call the weeping prophet, because he cried for those people, because they refused to repent. Now here he's sending Isaiah. He says, "Go to these people and give them the message, but they're not going to hear. They're not going to comprehend. They're not going to realize the spiritual danger they're in. And at the end of the day, they're not going to repent." So in our day and age, we go out, we give God's message. But we give it in a totally different way than Isaiah is. We're not going out standing on the square and crying out to the city so that the king, it'll be reported to the king, so that all the people will hear. God gives us a message for people in our lives. Because what happens is we start creating a relationship with somebody. And through love, we start giving God's message. And it's in that love that people start responding to that message. Now, there are times where you're going to go for years and years and years. God is doing a work. But they have a free will. They get to make the choice. And sometimes they're going to make a bad choice because they think they know. But it doesn't take away our responsibility to keep on loving them, keep on praying for them, keep on giving them God's message. Because maybe just one day, their eyes will be opened. Maybe one day, they will comprehend the message and repent. You know, we talk about these great people of faith in the Old Testament. I would not have liked to have been Ezekiel. Lay on your side for 3 years. Now turn over for the next 3 years and lay on the other side. Oh my gosh. He did it because it was a message against the people. And they understood the message. They didn't like the message, but they understood. Elijah, go tell the king Ahab, not going to be any rain for the next 3 years. Tell him that the next time it rains is when you say it's going to rain. And then once you've told Ahab that, go out here to the wilderness, to this brook. I'll send ravens with food so you can eat. You can drink from the brook. Well, that was a nice ministry, wasn't it? You know, you camped out for a few years, a couple of years till the brook dries up. Then you get to go to Zarephath, which is a foreign country from Israel. Stay with the widow. Oh my gosh, you talk about a faith. This lady had faith. He walks up to her and says, bake me some bread. She said, well, I was gathering up sticks to take what little flour and oil I had to make one last meal for my child and me so that we could have our last meal and die. I say, no, God will take care of us. But first, go make me bread. And then make yourself and the child some bread. And it says, for the rest of that famine, her flour did not run out, nor did her oil run out. See, too many times we think, man, I'm not the one that needs to tell this person about God. I don't need to be the messenger. And God said, did it work out well for Moses when he said he didn't need to be the messenger? Nope. Because guess what? Aaron became the messenger. And what did Moses have to do? Moses had to be God to Aaron. Much worse than being the messenger. So, you know, I'm sitting here going, well, God, okay. We want to be the messenger. We want to do it right. But, you know, we say, well, I don't have the right words. Romans 8 tells us the Holy Spirit knows we don't have the right words and makes groanings for us, too deep to be uttered. God is going to take care of it. God is going to take care of it. We don't have to worry when God sends us. And you know, honestly, about half the time, God puts us in a situation to do that. We don't even realize that's what's happening till after the fact. Thank goodness. Because then we depend on God because something's come up. But can you imagine being called up to heaven to be prepared to have a ministry that's sole purpose is to go out, give a message that's going to condemn an entire nation? You know, when Hezekiah becomes king, it says they found the book of the law. And when they found the book of the law and the priests read it, they tore their clothes. And then they came to the king and they read to the king the book of the law. And it says King Hezekiah tore his robes. And then he said, go to Isaiah, find out, because God is mad at us. Our ancestors have done evil things. God is mad at us. Go find out how much time we have. What do we need to do? And God said, you're absolutely right. I am angry. But see, your heart was tender towards me. You repented and sought me. And so I'm not going to do this in your generation. because you did what was right in the sight of the Lord. I am not going to bring judgment on you. However, after you sleep with your ancestors, this is coming. And so, imagine that. That God changed that timeline because Hezekiah repented and made the nation repent. It talks about him going throughout the country, smashing all the pillars, tearing down all the altars to Baal, tearing down all the Asherah poles, taking the false priests, sacrificing them on their own altars so that he defiled those altars. See, he sought after God. But Isaiah is going to talk to that generation that comes after Hezekiah's generation. And we know Nebuchadnezzar is going to come. He's going to take them away. And they're going to spend 70 years in exile. Now think about this. 70 years in exile. How do you keep your genealogy when you're in exile? Israel didn't do it, right? We know that because they intermarried with foreigners. Judah did it. They kept their genealogies. They kept to the righteous path. We see Daniel and his friends staying in that righteous path. We see Malachi and Ruth, or Esther, staying in that righteous path, even though they're in a foreign nation. We see God preserving the Jews through Esther. So God does all of this. Why? Because he made a promise through Abraham. And God was active in that promise. He said, I'm going to bless the entire earth through your seed. Meaning through Jesus Christ. And so the Jews kept their genealogies. They kept themselves separated. And then they came back to Judah. They rebuilt the temple. Do you remember when they finished the temple? What happened? They're dedicating it, celebrating. What were the old men doing? They were over there crying because they had seen the Temple of Solomon. And this one didn't even match up to what Solomon had built. They were weeping because this was a poor copy. God didn't condemn them for that copy. God blessed them through that. They rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. And then we're done. We have over 400 years of silence from then through the birth of John the Baptist. Well, 9 months before John the Baptist. Angel Gabriel shows up, starts giving messages. But God kept them through that time of silence. He kept them. Can you imagine getting to see all of this? We're on the other side. We know there are folks out there that are dying every day But in our circle, we know we have to make friends with those folks that aren't saved. Not so they can influence us, but so that we can love them, pray for them, pray for their salvation. You have to reject their philosophies. You've got to reject the worldly stuff that they tell you. And you can't even react to it. One of the girls I'm witnessing to at work, oh my gosh. She believes in the million and two genders theory, you know. And I go, yeah, I'm glad there were only two when I was born. She doesn't know what to say to that. But, you know, but I can't just say, you're an idiot. You really need to get this together, because that's not how you love somebody. I don't have to accept what she's saying. All I have to do is love her, so that if God opens that opportunity, I can give her the message. And it may just be like Isaiah. She may have her eyes closed, her ears stopped up. She may have hardened her heart so that that message won't come through. But it's not because she didn't hear the message that she didn't get saved. It's because she didn't accept the message. Remember, it's not your responsibility to get people saved. Your responsibility is to love, pray, and just talk to them. So, I heard a testimony of a guy. He said one time he was praying for this guy to get saved. They were talking about his car. And as they're talking about this guy's car, having problems with it, he said, do you know God? He goes, yeah, I know God. He said, I want to know God. How do you get from a 67 Chevy to I want to know God? I don't know the logical leap, but I don't care. God had the conversation already planned. And this guy got to lead him to the Lord by just talking about ordinary things. See, it's not the flowery speech. You know, you do need to know those salvation scriptures just to have that stuff settled in your heart. Okay? But don't give them 3 points in a prayer. You know? It's that love. It's that normal conversation. It's, well, how did you stitch that quilt? And you're explaining it. And then they said, I'm really going through a hard time. I know you pray. Can you pray for me? And your answer can be, well, I already do, but I'll start praying more for you. See? That's evangelism. That is giving God's message. That's the way it's supposed to work. You know, in a day and age where this thing right here is separating us more and more and more, because everybody's going like this. I mean, at the house now, I'm making myself put it down. Making myself put it down, because, I mean, what do I need to do? Now, I'm going to tell you, what I'm guilty of is looking up recipes. Oh, yeah, my Facebook feed is full of recipes. You know, smoking recipes, grilling recipes, baking recipes, and desserts. Mainly desserts, but just saying, in case you couldn't tell. But in an age where the devil's using technology to separate us by saying, oh, well, when you get on Facebook, you'll become closer to people. How many people are you closer with now because of Facebook? Well, okay, so I have a bunch of people I went to school with. I have them on Facebook. And I've talked to them in person zero times since we became friends on Facebook. Maybe a message in the last 5 years, maybe, but probably not. See, it's a sly little trick. It's hey, look here. I've got this shiny little thing here. And at the back, they're pulling a string, pulling you out of the way. This is just a tool. It's not good. It's not bad. It's a tool. If you become obsessed with it, it starts taking over your life. If you control it and you're using it to message. Now, I do know that my wife does message in Facebook with her friends. It has brought her closer to some of her friends. Not me, but her, it has. But you see, we can't say, well, I'm relying on Facebook, or I'm relying on this, I'm relying on that. God is going, it's personal. He didn't put out a billboard in Judah and say, hey, who'll do this for me? Apply here. He personally went to Isaiah. So, just remember, we are all messengers of God. We all have our own circle. We're all empowered by God. And do you know? Some of you are the only gospel that somebody will ever hear because of your love for them. Let's pray. Holy Father, we come before you today just thanking you for this day. We thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for what it means to us. Father, help us to just stand up and be your hands and feet, to be your mouth, to allow you to use us in situations where somebody needs to hear that gospel message. But they need to hear it through our love, not just through our words. Father, it's our actions that bring them to you. Father, we pray that you'd glorify yourself this week. We lift up Jimmy and Nancy to you right now and pray for a special blessing on them. And Father, we just pray for a supernatural healing in Jimmy's life. For it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message helps you grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. You may contact us through our website, teaguebiblechurch.org, TEAGUE BibleChurch.org, or our mailing address is P.O. Box 827, Teague, Texas 75860.